When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Managing Director, Charts and Data Operations at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
How's it going, Katie?
I'm great. How about yourself, Keith?
I am swell.
Great.
I just put the headphones on, and I was like, my voice sounds different. I don't know why. Why is that? I'm like, oh, because my headphones aren't on. And I'm like, why do the sound in here is terrible. Okay.
Keith produces the show, by the way, everyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically.
Yes, you do.
We do.
Okay.
We do, Katie.
I'll take one of those vanity, like, executive producer titles.
You're the Clive Davis of this podcast. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Morgan Wallen is back at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart with Last Night, while he continues atop the Billboard 200 Albums chart with One Thing at a Time. Melanie Martinez and Boy Genius debut in the top five on the Billboard 200 with their new albums. Plus, Rema and Selena Gomez's Calm Down hits a new high on the Hot 100. Lady Gaga's back in the top 10 on the pop airplay chart with her gone viral and very old song, Bloody Mary. And Depeche Mode reached the top 10 on the alternative airplay chart for the first time in over 25 years with their latest single, Ghosts Again.
Plus, Coachella returns this weekend with headliners Bad Bunny, Blackpink, and Frank Ocean. We'll preview what to expect in the desert and let you know how to follow along with all of Billboard's coverage this weekend, so stick around for that.
You'll expect lots of dust.
Lots of, yes. Wear a mask.
arid air.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right. Let us do the chat of the charts. First up, Morgan Wallen leads both at the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart and the Billboard 200 Albums chart as Last Night and One Thing at a Time hold court atop the lists, respectively. Last Night jumps back to the top, rising 3-1 for a second week in the lead, while One Thing at a Time is number one for a fifth straight and total week on the 200. Also in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, Melanie Martinez notches her highest charting album yet as Portals opens at number two. See what I did there? Portals opens. Get it? While rock supergroup Boy Genius debuts at number four with their first full-length studio effort and major label debut, The Record. Meanwhile, Tyler, the Creator's former number one, Call Me If You Get Lost, surges 137-3 after it was reissued with eight additional previously unreleased songs. The album previously spent 1 week at number one upon its debut in 2021 and then went back to number one last year for 1 week after its final LP release. All right, well, over on the Hot 100, Rema and Selena Gomez's Calm Down climbs to a new peak, rising 8-7. It has growth in airplay, streams, and sales for the week, and those, of course, are the three metrics that fuel the chart.
And it's topped the global 200, like, previously. You don't know.
Don't know.
That's a I don't know face.
It's what does that face look like when I give it to you?
You're like,
why are you asking me something?
A little bit like the emoji where they're just showing their teeth, like that one.
I share that emoji a lot.
I love that one. It's called the grimace.
It's called the grimace.
Yeah. So you're giving me an I don't know grimace.
I have a very I have a very expressive face.
I'm just gonna double check my own thing I'm asking you about real quick. It did top the Billboard Global 200 excluding US.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So that, I mean, and it's been around since we've talked about this.
Yep.
Selena jumped on in August, I believe. It's been around for a minute.
I wonder if it's going to keep on going.
I hope so.
Shall we go for top five?
It's a great song, and I feel like it's a huge look for both Selena and the Afrobeat genre. I love it.
Anyway, moving on. Elsewhere on the charts, Lady Gaga's 2011 song, Bloody Mary, which went viral late last year thanks to a dance meme associated with the Netflix show Wednesday, hits the top 10 of the pop airplay chart, rising 12 to 10.
What a journey.
It's Gaga's 14th top 10 on the list and her first top 10 unaccompanied since Applause hit number 4 in 2013.
Wow.
So now between Applause.
Obviously, we've had like Shallow and things of that nature. Oh, wait. Well, now I don't know if that one's
I'm about
top 10.
To tell you the answer. Katie.
Go.
Between Applause and Bloody Mary, she notched two top 10s. Both were collaborations.
One of which she'd like you to forget exists.
Do What You Want with featuring R. Kelly, which hit number 7 in 2014, and Rain On Me with Ariana Grande, which hit number 10 in 2020. And am I crazy, or does it seem like Rain On Me should have been a bigger hit on pop radio?
Yeah, because it was a number one Hot 100
yes.
hit. And it felt everywhere, but maybe that was just me playing it constantly on my own Spotify because I'm obsessed with that song.
Yeah.
So it's probably that.
Super fan Katie Atkinson at home.
I love that song.
Little Monster, Katie.
Yeah, you know me.
Lastly, over on the alternative airplay chart, veteran band Depeche Mode is back in the top 10 for the first time in over 25 years as their latest single, Ghosts Again, steps 11 to 10. The group was last in the top 10 in 1997 with It's No Good. Between the two songs, they charted 8 hits on the chart, going as high as number 12 twice with Dream On in 2001 and Wrong in 2009. That's how they say wrong in the song. Here's a little extra information about Depeche Mode and the alternative chart. So since the alternative airplay chart launched in 1988, Depeche Mode has placed 21 hits on the list, with 7 of them going top 10. And they are Personal Jesus, Enjoy the Silence, Policy of Truth, I Feel You, Walking in My Shoes, It's No Good, and Ghosts Again. And of those, there were number ones, and those were Enjoy, Policy, I Feel You, and Walking in My Shoes. One might think that had the alternative airplay chart started earlier than 1988, and also if there are enough alternative radio stations to support such a chart, Depeche Mode may have had more hits on this list since the band made its Billboard chart debut, across all of our charts in 1981. And that year they debuted on our Dance Club Songs chart.
I feel like categorizing Depeche Mode is also very challenging.
Because
alternative airplay is an interesting place for them to live because they are arguably pop sometimes or obviously dance.
Mm-hmm.
They could even be rock on occasion.
They've charted 0 hits on our mainstream rock airplay
chart.
Wild.
So in my opinion, the alternative airplay, it's like that genre became like it existed for outliers like Depeche Mode to fall into.
You are absolutely 100% correct, Katie Atkinson. If you look at the airplay chart, the alternative airplay chart in like 88 to like 91, it was really wackadoodle. It was like really alternative stuff where it's like, this doesn't have a place on pop radio really, doesn't have a place on kind of like mainstream, like at the time, rock music would have been like, John Mellencamp
right.
and, like Bon Jovi, I suppose, to a degree.
There needed to be a literal alternative
to everything else.
Yes.
And that's what it became. And back when the alternative chart started in the late 80s and early 90s, it was very kind of new wavy, British, alternative, interesting stuff that really wasn't getting exposure kind of anywhere else. Now, alternative morphed into more of some of that.
Well,
it
went through a grunge phase
in the early
90s, obviously mid-90s. And then now we would think of somebody like Billie Eilish as kind of being the face of alternative radio.
Melanie Martinez is alternative.
Exactly.
Taylor Swift on a Folklore Day might be alternative,
Look
I suppose.
At that.
I don't know. let me rattle off some of Depeche Mode's hits that were Billboard chart hits before the alternative chart started. So in 81, they debuted on our dance club chart dance club songs chart, as I said before. And in the 80s, before the alternative chart started, they hit Billboard's charts with such songs as Just Can't Get Enough, Everything Counts, People Are People, Strange Love, and Never Let Me Down Again, the latter of which recently experienced a resurgence thanks to its use in HBO's The Last of Us.
I feel like so many of those song titles, you just want to, like, sing them. People yeah. are people.
Just can't get enough.
Exactly. Get enough. Exactly. Because they chose the right titles based on their choruses.
Yeah.
Well, should we talk about Coachella, Keith?
Yeah. Yes.
Weekend one is this weekend. Starts on Friday with Bad Bunny headlining. Saturday, we have Blackpink. And Sunday, we have Frank Ocean. And then we're going to do it all over again the weekend after that. And returning to the desert, as the poster promises, Calvin Harris.
What does that mean? Does that just mean he's
I think
just
it's kind of like this the Swedish House Mafia role of last year. So, like, before Kanye or Ye backed out of Coachella, he had been listed as a headliner, and it said, and returning to the desert, Swedish House Mafia. But then Ye dropped out. The Weeknd stepped in, but, like, it was, like, a co-headlining slot between The Weeknd and Swedish House Mafia, so we didn't really get to see what that looked like last year because of that weird turn of events. This year, I think they're just making sure to give Calvin Harris his props as, like, headliner level, but they're not calling him one of their official headliners, basically. But they don't want to, like, offend him. So, yeah, I don't know if anyone actually knows the answer to that question, but that's, I think, the idea of it, just to make sure that he's respected on the on the level of a headliner-ish.
So is he going to be, like, in the dance tent or something?
I don't know, actually. They haven't, they haven't put out set times yet.
They don't do that usually until, what, Thursday or Friday?
Like, a couple days. Not Friday. It's not that late. It's like, Tuesday or Wednesday.
And by the time you hear this, it could be out.
Yes, yeah. And Jason typically does, like, a... you know, the biggest conflicts kind of piece where he breaks down what is going on at the exact same time that it'll be hard to choose between.
The torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool situation.
Oh, man. So
no
I wanted
one
to talk,
knows that reference.
I wanted to talk about the lineup because we've spoken on this podcast before about, you know, things getting really poppy at Coachella for a moment there, like between basically when Lady Gaga stepped in for Beyonce and then Beyonce was the next year, Ariana Grande. Last year, arguably the poppiest trio of all time. Last year was Billie Eilish, Harry Styles, and Weeknd. Like, that is pop radio.
This is just like the iHeart Festival.
But now, I think this trio gets back to its alternative roots a little bit in the sense that obviously Blackpink, massive pop group, but K-pop being the first time they've ever had a K-pop headliner. Bad Bunny, first time they've ever had a, like, they've never had a Latin headliner, period, let alone one who performs in exclusively Spanish like Bad Bunny does.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frank Ocean, no one would accuse Frank Ocean of being pop.
No, Frank Ocean is the most sort of traditional Coachella headliner.
Yeah.
Let's just remind people that when Coachella started in 1999, the headliners were Beck, Tool, and Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
And then, like, the next few years, the headliners were Jane's Addiction, Bjork and Oasis, the Beastie Boys, the Chili Peppers,
Radiohead,
The Cure, Coldplay, Nine Inch Nails. It's very kind of rock.
Yes. And then the big turning point was when hip hop headliners came in with Jay-Z, with Kanye West.
Also, arguably to a degree, when Madonna headlined the dance tent that year that you went.
But again, Madonna hasn't headlined.
No, she was just in the dance tent. It's Madonna.
Exactly.
In 2006.
Whereas in current day Coachella, I think in that exact year, 2006, Madonna would have been a headliner the way that they book it now.
But back then, people weren't scared of going away from rock. Back then, the promoters of Coachella would have never dared to put Madonna as a headliner because
Tool was headlining that night.
The headliners that year were like Depeche Mode and Tool on each day.
Yep.
And Tool was the headliner
that night.
So they weren't playing at the same time, I would imagine.
Actually, they were.
Oh, my God.
And I obviously chose Madonna.
You saw.
And then I left. So sorry to Tool.
Look. But this year, when you compare that,
there's
Coachella's
more,
really grown and
there's
morphed.
There's a little more diversity. And I mean diversity in the sense of, like, a kind of all senses of the word. There's more genre diversity. There's more like international diversity. I think that it's a really interesting, fascinating lineup that hits a lot of different people. Like, I'm very fascinated because they sell these tickets as 3-day passes. You cannot buy a Saturday ticket to Coachella, a Friday ticket to Coachella.
You also don't know what the acts are when you buy them for the most part.
Well, yeah. When you buy them back in the day or like the when they first go on sale. But I think it's an interesting if I'm like a somebody who's worried about things going too pop, I might think that this is righting things slightly, although it's Blackpink is one of the biggest pop groups in the whole world. So it's kind of a ludicrous thing to say.
The Blackpink booking is really, really, really interesting because it just seems like so they are not at the level of Gaga or Beyonce in America.
Right.
That is not a shade to their talents, but they are not as popular. They just are not.
Yet.
But when Gaga and Beyonce headlined Coachella, they were at a much different level.
Totally.
Than Blackpink is now.
100%.
So it's a very interesting booking that Coachella is choosing to book Blackpink.
Also no shade to Blackpink is that the rumor was that both Rihanna and Justin Bieber passed on that slot.
Oh, on the Saturday
yes.
slot.
Yes.
It's interesting.
Bad Bunny and Frank Ocean were talked about being locked in, and that last one was an X factor.
Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder if Blackpink was always going to be playing it, and then they just got bumped up, maybe.
I am happy. If it wasn't going to be Rihanna.
Rumors. We don't know.
If it wasn't going to be Rihanna, I'm very happy it was Blackpink instead of Justin Bieber, because like then they would have gotten all sorts of shade for the very male trio of headliners.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, that would have been. I mean, it's great that we have an all-female pop group.
All-female group. Pop, like they are really carrying the pop flag this year, I feel like, for Coachella.
I mean, also that same Saturday, aside from Blackpink, you have Rosalia, you have the all-female supergroup, rock group of Boy Genius.
Kid Leroy.
You're talking about ladies. Charlie XCX.
I was talking about pop.
one half of Sophie Tucker is a woman.
True.
So, you know, I mean, some great lady representation there. Hey, the Breeders are playing, too.
Love that.
There's a lot of people playing.
Yeah, we'll drop a couple other names here. For Friday with Bad Bunny, we've got Gorillaz, Burna Boy, Chemical Brothers, Blondie. Becky G is actually pretty pop booking. She's very like Latin pop slash a little reggaeton as well. Then on Frank Ocean night Sunday, we've got Bjork. That's how you're supposed to say her name, apparently.
Bjork?
Yeah.
Oh, not Bjork?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good Lord.
I learned that.
Oh.
Internet, correct me again if I'm wrong.
Well, it's also Rihanna.
Kali Uchis. I mean, we have a lot of amazing Latin representation here. Kali Uchis, Porter Robinson, A Boogie. We have, Dominic Fike from Euphoria.
Oh.
Yeah. It's in Lotto, Jackson Wang. All these people are on Sunday. Glorilla. I feel like you just have to dig a little deeper for the kind of poppier stuff this year.
Christine and the Queens also playing on Sunday. So there are always sort of surprise collaborations that happen at Coachella, surprise guests. I mean, Ariana quite famously brought out 4/5 of NSYNC for her set.
Harry Styles brought out Shania Twain on weekend one and Lizzo on weekend two.
Madonna popped up at that Drake performance we're never going to talk about again.
That we shall never speak of.
So,
no, I think that's an interesting point you bring up, like, who is most likely of Bad Bunny, Blackpink, Frank Ocean to bring out the most surprising guest?
Blackpink has collaborated with Selena Gomez,
Dua Lipa.
Lady Gaga. I mean, what if Lady Gaga...
If any three of those women came out, it would be incredible.
What if one comes out on one weekend and another one comes out on a different weekend?
Oh, my gosh. No, that's a really good point. To your point about, like, Blackpink, you know, earning the slot that some people might have been at a firmer pop star status when they got it, they might be thinking, what can we bring to, like, really bring the heat? And the answer to, like, the question is, if you brought Selena Gomez out, people would lose their absolute minds. I mean, she is, like, Selena Gomez is the most talked about human on the internet right now.
Is Rema playing anywhere on this list? I mean,
that's a really good point.
I mean, if Gaga shows up and they do Sour Candy, like...
I saw Remy Wolf and got excited, but I don't see Rema.
All right. Bad Bunny has had a bajillion different collaborations. Frank Ocean has collaborated with, you know, so...
I mean, if Bad Bunny were bringing out Cardi B, who hasn't performed in a while, that'd be very fun. She actually brought out Bad Bunny and J Balvin when she didn't headline but was on the Coachella bill for the first time.
Interesting.
So maybe a return the favor moment. Maybe they'll debut a new song.
I mean that's the great thing about Coachella. Like, even if you don't go, like, so much news comes from Coachella.
Oh, and I should say, YouTube is once again streaming. The one kind of inconsistent part about the YouTube streaming is, like, an artist can opt out of streaming, and we don't yet know whether anyone has. But as far as we know, you can watch from home pretty much everything. So, but I could really see, like, a Frank Ocean opting out of a YouTube stream.
I think Ariana didn't stream her set.
Well, how did we see NSYNC? I definitely saw her in NSYNC.
I've seen it through lots of TikToks and Instagram videos that have been cobbled together.
I know I watched Harry at home last year and was able to, like, write up the Shania Twain news. I was going to say as soon as it happened, which is not accurate because the stream is slightly delayed. I learned in the moment because Twitter started buzzing about Shania Twain and it didn't happen on my stream for maybe a half hour. Like, it was pretty like super delayed, actually.
I wonder. Well, we also have people on the ground. Billboard has people.
We do. We actually have we have five people at Coachella. We have three people, three writers. We have a social media editor, and we have someone who's just going, who's kind of helping.
Oh, so we can't say who they are because then they'll be. I don't want to give everyone away. But we will have this sucker covered.
Oh yeah, we sure do. Keith
and Katie aren't going, by the way.
We sure aren't. It is a very, like, God bless the people going to cover this, because in my opinion, it is a slog. That is a long day. People who attend Coachella know what a long day it is. Now imagine going home and writing, like, an article and publishing articles, like, right after that night.
Multiple articles. Whew. Like, I can't even, I don't even know, like, how does that work? Like, you're in the middle of a field at, like, 3 p.m. and you just saw something
You're doing
happen.
Literally everything you, on your phone. You're,
can,
yeah.
Can we post stories from our phone?
I can.
Oh, my God. That's
I can and have, Keith.
It's hard. It's hard enough posting a story on a desktop laptop. But, good grief.
But to answer your question, if something massive happens midday, which isn't typically the case, a lot of the massive stuff is saved for the headlining slots.
Yeah.
So then those people are going to go right home and write it. But if something does happen midday, we've got a weekend team and people send me texts and they tell me it's happening.
I would absolutely be that person in the middle of the field, like, texting you, like, a paragraph.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, what Lindsay did that for me last year couple times.
Like, can you plop this into a story and put two things around it?
Yep. Like, that's correct.
Here's your headline.
Yep.
Blackpink says, like, we're here to save the world. And then that's all the story. That's it. all right. What else? Is that it? Is that all we got?
That is it. So just stay tuned to billboard.com. Like I said, we've got a social media editor going this year, too, which means we're going to have live videos, photos, et cetera, from the ground, which will be great. So stick with Billboard for all the coverage.
All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Twenty years ago, Linkin Park scored its first number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with Meteora. The album debuted atop the list dated April 12, 2003, and spent 2 weeks atop the tally. The band had previously logged two number two peaking albums with the studio set Hybrid Theory in 2002 and the remix album Reanimation later that same year. Meteora was the first of six number one albums for the group, and the album would launch three top 40 charting hits on the Hot 100 with Somewhere I Belong, Numb, and Breaking the Habit. Also, Numb would later become an even bigger hit when it was mashed up with Jay-Z's Encore from the Collision Course MTV special. That was the sort of the remix mashup special thingy that they did, that Linkin Park did with Jay-Z, that then generated Numb/Encore, Do You Want More, and the number one album, MTV Presents Collision Course. That was Jay-Z and Linkin Park. I digress. All right, Meteora was recently reissued for its 20th anniversary, boasting live tracks, rarities, and unreleased demos, including the recent top 40 Hot 100 hit Lost and the new single Fighting Myself, both of which feature the vocals of the band's late singer, Chester Bennington, who died in 2017.
Yeah, I've been hearing Lost a lot still. Yeah. Like, and I found myself singing along to it the other day.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, Linkin Park truly has, like, a new old found hit. Wild. And this is a good transition. Sorry. You go ahead and wrap up your chart stat, and then I'll tell you something else.
So there you have it. 20 years ago, Linkin Park topped the Billboard 200 for the first time with Meteora. Somewhere I belong.
This is a perfect transition to say that Billboard just posted the 100 best songs of 2003.
Oh.
And we're actually, it's 2003 week on Billboard.com. So we're going to have a lot more coverage, but the big mega list that this whole week is pegged upon is on Billboard.com now.
What perfect fortuitous.
I know.
Didn't even know that was happening.
Yes. And I got to write the blurb for number two. You're going to have to go to the website.
I know who wrote the blurb for number one.
I do, too.
But I'm not going to tell you.
Because she sits right next to me.
Not going to tell you what number one is.
When I got assigned two, I'm like, I bet Haran got number one.
But the number one is a great number one.
Yeah. Should we say it?
No.
Okay.
Go to Billboard.com. Give us a click.
It's actually hard to guess, in my opinion. Like, what I wrote for number two, like, number two could have been number one very, very easily.
All right. What song should we go out on?
Oh, it got to be something from 2003, right?
Sure. one of those classic hits from Madonna's American Life album?
Oh, I was actually going to suggest a Meteora song.
Okay, that's great. Numb?
Yeah, let's go out and numb. Love numb.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye. I've become so numb.